Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. Visiting with us this week from the Jaguar Track and Field Program is Senior Caitlin Beans. Caitlin, appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, I'm glad to help out and be able to have this opportunity to talk to everybody.
Well, one of the reasons I asked for and hoped you would be our guest this week is this weekend, starting Thursday with multi-events through the end of Saturday afternoon, is the South Alabama Invitational. It's the last of three home meets for the program this semester. It's also the last home meet of your career. And so I was wondering, you know, as you head into this weekend, are you feeling a little more emotional about it? Or are you trying to go about business as usual and treat it like any other weekend?
That's the plan, to go about business as usual, but I have been thinking about it since maybe about a week ago or the week before, that this is just now hitting me that this is my last home meet. I probably won't really realize it till like Friday, and I'll probably start crying. I cry for everything, but it is, you know, I know what to do and I'm really excited about competing, but it's still that sentimental moment. This is your last undergraduate meet, and so I'm thankful to have had this career, but can't say I'm not going to be happy about graduating.
Well, you've been in the outdoor season for about a month. In indoor, last week of February, you were chosen the most outstanding field athlete on the women's side after winning both the triple jump and long jump at the meet. And now you go from competing in the indoor environment and setting to being outdoors. And each week, you know, triple jump is your specialty, and each meet you've competed in, you've put up a better mark. Talk about the progress you've made and how much of an adjustment is it going from indoor to outdoor season?
Indoor, I actually, not like many of my teammates, I didn't have an indoor season in high school, so I didn't really know what it was really about. So I started doing indoor when I first got here. And so my first indoor season was a big difference for me. I really didn't understand, like, how anything was going to go, what events were indoor, what events were outdoor. So that, I know it sounds bad, but I really didn't know. And the transition from indoor to outdoor is huge. I mean, the environment is totally different. The feel for things is totally different. Runways are different. Sand is different. Weather, it's like anything could be a factor, even though it's the same event in and out. And I've never really been that good indoors, just because I hadn't really done it. Indoor is just almost strategy most of the time, and sometimes outdoor people can play it up to just really getting lucky with the wind or really getting lucky with good weather. So I've always had that first week or so in from indoor to outdoor is a little rocky. I don't really have really good jumps in that time because I'm still transitioning over and trying to readjust myself, but I'd say within the first 2 or 3 weeks from coming out, it's you pick back up where you left off and you know where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask now, because certainly one of the things I think has to go into that is what you do out at practice, where you get a chance to be out there and you know you're not going to be in that indoor sterile environment anymore. When you're out at practice, how much are you on the runway and jumping? How much time do you put into that? And how do you divide time between preparing for the triple jump and the long jump, which is the other event that you handle most often than not?
I typically am going to triple jump every week, no matter what, wherever competition I'm going to go. I don't always long jump. It used to be I would long jump just to get a mark to get me in the conference, and then I wouldn't long jump until conference again. I didn't start long jumping more often until my outdoor season of my junior years, when they started really letting me get a little bit better into it, because I kind of started figuring things out. But I split things up based on what I'm going to do. So if I know I'm going to do triple and long, I'm probably going to do more runway stuff with my long jump and more break down basic stuff with my triple. So I usually I don't jump that often before a meet. I really, now that I think about it, I really don't. I go to practice, I do a lot of bounding, I do a lot of running, I do a lot of approaches, some small explosive work, but it's really like I break down each portion and work on whatever. So if I know I had a decent jump the week before but my approach was really off, that's what I'm going to work on. If I know I had really bad takeoff in my long jump, I'm going to work more on long jump and just minor things in triple. So I kind of can change it week by week, and then eventually by conference time it has all come together for me and I've gotten everything in line.
So, you know, you mentioned that you know what went right or wrong, but it's like other team sports, football, basketball, they record games and go back and watch film. Do some of the coaches sit there with even cameras on the phones so that you can see and evaluate, or how do you, or is that just a feel thing that you know what went wrong or what went right because of your experience doing the events?
Over the past couple of years, I do get things recorded, but I'll be the first to admit that I never get the good ones recorded. I may have two good jumps recorded out of my whole career, and some of them are from so far away, I still don't know what I'm doing. So it's like, okay, I kind of try, it's more like a feel, but I also really trust my coaches and what they tell me that I looked like. And then usually when they tell me that, I know I felt that's how I looked. And so the few really good ones I have, I go back and look at what I did and I can remember that feeling that I had. And so I know how I need to look in that specific point in time. But recording for me just hasn't always worked out, just because of they just haven't been able to really catch it, you know. And it's kind of like they record one and then that may be the one I messed up, and then the one time they don't record it, it's a great jump, and then I'm like, oh man. So I'm just kind of unlucky in the recording department.
Well, we talked about this competing at the Sun Belt Indoor Championship a little while ago, and you're now about a month away from the Sun Belt Outdoor Championship, and I guess track is it's that rare sport that affords you the ability to compete at multiple championships in the same year. Talk about the different, like, throughout the season, it's really about posting marks and qualifying, I mean, in the conference and then outdoor in the region. And then you get the conference, and all of a sudden, people start tallying points, and you're a team. You're not just out there individually. Talk about the difference in competing in those environments and if you do anything different because of that.
I've always been, since high school, the person that if coaches ever ask me to do something and it's for the good of the points or team, I'm going to do it. And the around the time where it really changes for me is I used to high jump. I know I don't like to admit that because I wasn't that good, but I did. I used to high jump, and I would only high jump, like I did long jump, just enough to get a mark to get me in the conference. And then I wouldn't do everything until I got to conference, because that was really when they wanted people the healthiest and to score the most points. And so the way we do it is, if you're not close enough to where we think you're going to score any points, then you typically don't do that event. But if we know that, hey, you can probably stick it out and get through it and get a point or two, that's something that works out. So I would like to say that we do everything we can to win our discipline, of course, but at the end of the day, you want to do your best to contribute the points, not just for your stats, but for your team stats as well.
Well, I want to go back to last May, because you're laughing, but it's obviously a fond memory. You contributed to South winning its first women's outright Sun Belt Conference Championship at the outdoor meet. Talk to us about those 3 days. When you're not jumping, what are you doing to be a good teammate? How does that work to where you all kind of maybe lifted each other to some better performances? How do you do that when, again, it's individual events, but you are a team?
I'm probably not the best person to ask about that, because my events are at the end of the conference, and usually outdoor it's hot, you're tired. Coach doesn't like having us out in the sun. You get sunlight really fast, and I didn't believe that when I came to college. I was like, this is not real. No, it's real. It's definitely a real thing that happens. And so the first day, Sunbelt likes to, they put their, you can look at it on the website. So that was really helpful. So for people that hadn't competed yet, they didn't like us being out. So we stayed in the hotel, but we were able to watch our teammates. And then a lot of people who competed the first day and finished repeatedly came back the following days. So I didn't compete till the second and the end of the third day. So I spent a lot of my time sitting in the hotel. I did a couple workouts, some swimming. If they let me get to the track just to shake out a little bit, I would get there and stay front of it and get back. But I didn't really get a chance to really stay and watch a lot of my teammates win. I didn't get to see the javelin sweep. Man, that was something that was amazing to hear about, but I didn't get a chance to see it. But it's kind of like everybody does what they can to make sure they're prepared for their event and try to be supportive. So even though I hadn't missed it, I was super excited to run down to the room and like congratulate all three of them, because it was an amazing thing to see and to happen.
I'm guessing that in this day and age and technology that's maybe around that time, suddenly there's a massive group text going back and forth where you can show your support by your teammates know what happened because you've been able to text them even if they're still at the track and you're at the hotel.
Oh, yeah, and Coach Bruski is really good about whenever something happens, if somebody's scored or somebody's made the podium or something, he's really quick to get pictures and where they ended up at, if it was a school record, if it wasn't. He's pretty good about within 5 or 10 minutes of the event results being posted of us seeing it. So usually if I hadn't had a chance to check the results, I have him bookmarked on my Facebook, so whenever he posts something, it dings, and it'll pop up, and I'm like, oh, when? She got this. And then you're like really excited because he's going to post it and make sure everybody knows about it. So he's good about keeping up with it. The Sunbelt is, we are, because we have access to the website on our phones. So technology is so much, so such a big help to us at this point.
So, you know, before we compared indoor and outdoor, and what I want to ask you now is, in these next couple days, what you do to get ready for the South Alabama Invitational, will you do anything different in the few days leading up to the Sunbelt meet or the East Region meet? Or do you have a routine that's the same every week and that's what you think helps you be most successful?
I have a specific routine that I do follow, and that is just because I've had some time over the years to realize how my body works and how I respond to things as far as soreness and injuries and pain. But it does, my schedule does depend on when I do compete. So if it's a 2-day meet and I compete on Friday but I don't compete on Saturday, what I do leading up to Friday will be different. If I compete on Saturday and not Friday, what I do leading up to that day is different. As far as this meet compared to the Sunbelt, I will probably do close to the same things, but the only difference is I only get so many days between the last time I competed in this home meet, whereas the Sunbelt, I have 10 days. So I have more time to do, get whatever I want to get in and recover from soreness than I do now. So if I'm not as, if I maybe like get as close to 100% as I can by the Sunbelt, I wouldn't be surprised though this week, by the end of the week, if I'm feeling kind of like 80-85-ish, I'll still push it and compete. It'll still get through and be good. But Sunbelt, I like to be as close to 100% ache free as possible.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Caitlin Beans, a senior on the Jaguar track and field team. The Jaguars will host the South Alabama Invitational Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Jaguar Track. So be sure to stop out. It's the final home meet of the season. We've talked about recent success, winning two events at the Sunbelt Indoor Meet in February. Talked about winning the triple jump and helping the team to the outdoor championship in May. But over the course of your nearly 4-year career now, you've earned All-American honors 3 times in the triple jump, including second team last June. You're a 5-time Sunbelt champion. As you go through this senior year, do you find that those performances and those standards put any kind of pressure on you for what you want to accomplish in your last year at the collegiate level?
Definitely. So I have this list. I have a list. I started it when I was right after I had won my first individual title when I was a freshman, because that, believe it or not, that first indoor season was the only season I actually was in all conference, and it was just because I didn't understand. I ended up fourth, but it was my first time, and so I had a list of all these things I wanted to do, and every year I complete the list, but it seems like I keep adding things on top of it. It was just jump 1250. Then it turned into, oh, well, you just jumped 13 meters. Now what? And I'm like, oh, man. So every year I find myself trying to get better, but I also understand that I'm only 4 years into doing triple jump. I haven't done it before, and there's still a lot of things I have to learn. And so one thing I've been struggling with this year as a senior is I haven't gotten a personal best in the triple jump yet. And it's kind of something that kind of bothers me a little, but then it doesn't, because I did go my whole sophomore year without a personal best in anything. But I just was able to get close to what I had been previously doing, that it was okay. So I've only done better so far in the long jump I've had personal best in. Triple jump, the rate I'm going, it looks like it's going to be better than I've ever had, and I'm really, really excited about it. But it, seeing what I have done previously and the standards I have set for myself, it's pressure, and it actually makes me a little nervous, because I don't really know what my body is going to do. I've always been, and Coach tells this joke to me all the time, that they never know what's going to happen. They know I'm going to do good at conference, but they never know how good, because I just kind of, it just kind of pops up, and then I'm just like, oh, hey, I just jumped this, and then they're like, what just happened? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It just kind of all came together. So it's kind of like I can feel it coming. I just don't know how great it's going to be just yet.
Well, you talk about how that's kind of affected, and you have a list. Maybe you want to share it with us. Maybe you don't. But I'd be curious, kind of, what kind of goals have you set for this spring and the outdoor season? And even if you don't want to put that out there, you have those goals. How do you balance what you want to do individually with knowing that, okay, if you hit a certain mark, you know, on that given day at the Sunbelt Championship, maybe it wins the triple jump and maybe you finish fifth. I mean, that's sort of out of your control. So does what's on your list affect kind of like your team goals? How do you handle all that?
Okay, so here was my just general list, and they weren't really – I used to do numbers, and then I just stopped giving with numbers because, you know, if you keep trying to hold yourself to, like, a numbered goal, it just – when you fall a little short of it, it's really – it's not it kind of hurts you a little bit, you know? So I tried to stay far away from that. My first thing was just to always be better than the week before. So that's something that I've always held up to. I had win an indoor and outdoor triple jump title in the same season. And then I had set hold school records, both indoor and outdoor and triple and long jump. So I've got three. I'm missing one right now. Qualify for regionals for a third year in a row. So I got that last year. Win a conference championship. That one I really, man, that was great. jump over 1320, because I always jumped at 1319. I was like, if I could just land at 1320, that'd be fine. But I ended up at 1338, so that was even better. Qualify for nationals as many times as I could. And I had down here qualify for indoor nationals, and I have unfortunately missed that mark. So that was probably, at this point, the only goal that I haven't achieved yet. And every year I have gotten, they take 16 in the past 3 years, I've ended up 17, 18, or 19. And so it's kind of like, okay, well, at least I know I was good enough to do it. And I just, you know, some things just happen. But having those goals for me balance out, because I know those are things that if I achieve them, they are going to boost the team. And we have, I know if I do win those two titles, that's 20 points right there for my team, you know, and that's 20 points that another school is not about to have. So that's something that I really like. Knowing that I get to it, winning a title is another title that South Alabama is going to hold. And that's good to have for Coach Bruschi to be able to go back and show that we've had this many wins in this consecutively. And so that's something that makes me feel good. It makes my program look good. And also they do rankings by events, and the past 2 years our jump program has been ranked nationally, and so that makes me feel really good to know that I contributed to that. They can average my jumps with my other teammates' jumps, and we are pushed up to national rankings. And so it's like everything on my list, I know as I accomplish, my team is accomplishing something as well. So it makes me feel really good.
So like at Sunbelt Championship, you know, three jumps. I don't think you go to you have to qualify for the second three. Do you find that as you're going, do you look at how much do you pay attention to the scoreboard and where everyone else's marks are at, and does that influence how you approach an actual individual jump?
I used to not really pay attention because it would just be really hard to try to keep up with my jumps and everybody else's. They used to not put them in order. I didn't start paying attention to order, honestly, until I got to finals. I always told myself if I could just get into finals, I could get three more chances. And that was me my freshman year. And then I realized that I can't do that because you never know what's going to happen in your next three chances. You never know what the next person's going to do when they get three more chances. So now I'm that person that says, okay, do it the first time. You don't have to worry about it anymore. So it's kind of that's kind of what been my mindset about things, because now Sunbelt, they do the three and then you get finals. For you to get to nationals, they don't do that anymore. You just get three jumps, and whatever happens after the three happens. And so I think I used to be really torn up about that because the running joke was my fourth jump was my best jump, and it always was. I never had that problem, and now it's like, all right, well, it doesn't matter because the first three jumps, whatever I do, is going to be better than my last three. And I don't know if that's just because I'm old and I can't finish any jumps. But it's just put it all out there the first time and then kind of sit back and put it out there, scare everybody, make them chase me. I don't want to chase anybody else for a win.
That makes sense. Visiting this week on Inside JAG Nation with Caitlin Beans from the track and field program. You know, you're finishing up a four-year career here. Have you put any thought into the possibility of competing beyond college, or do you feel like this is good, you like what you've accomplished, and you're ready to move on to the next phase of life, whatever that may be?
So when I was actually injured, I had said, okay, you know what? Where after I complete everything in college, I'm going to stop. I'm going to do like CrossFit or so. I'm just going to find something that's not track. And then recently, it's just kind of been, I've been realizing, hey, you're graduating. What are you going to do with your life? So now I'm like, okay, I need something. This is the first time in my life I haven't done a sport. I'm 21 years old and I've pretty much been doing sports since I was born. So this is the first time I'm not going to be made to do something. I have to make myself do something. And so I've been considering some postgraduate training. I'm going to try for the, at least for the first year, and see what happens. Because again, I'm still fresh in triple jump. It's my fourth year doing so. And a lot of people that I've been competing with are going on their sixth or seventh. So it's kind of like, what can I do in my fifth year? What will happen in my sixth year? So my plans are to try. I am going to try, see how strong I can get, see how fast I can get, and just compete and see what happens. And if I realize within the year it's not really something I like to do anymore, then I'm maybe CrossFit. I don't know. I'll find something.
Figure that out at that point.
I'll wait and figure that out when it comes.
Now, we've talked about a lot of accomplishments on the track, and they're tremendous, but just to let our listeners know, in the classroom, your work has led to you being named or earning the All-Academic Award from the Track and Field Coaches Association all three of your first 3 years here. You've been on the Sunbelt Conference Commissioners list your first 3 years here. First team academic all-district last spring. And actually, last spring, you were inducted into the Mortarboard Society. I mean, it's really, when you look back at that, that's a lot of accomplishments outside of track. What have you done to be able to balance the two and find success in both?
I have always taken my education seriously. It's never been something that I put on the back burner. It was always the first thing. My parents, that was just something that they put in me. I always knew, even if I didn't want to, I was going to go to college regardless. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was going to go to college. I knew I was going to get my master's. That's what they did. I knew I was going to get a doctorate. I got a couple aunts, cousins. My dad had a doctorate. I knew that's what I wanted. So I always worked hard to get into my education. And I got here, and the atmosphere was just amazing in the classroom, and my teachers were amazing, and the classes and how things were structured, I really enjoyed. And so that made it a lot easier for me to keep up with my work, because I liked what I was doing, and I enjoyed going to class. I know it sounds crazy, but I had some really good teachers, and I had a lot of things that they kept interest in me, and so it really motivated me to keep going. And so I think that's part of the reason as to why a lot of my education has just been going up. It's just because I've been enjoying, and as I've been getting more into my major, it's been more things that I like. And I think once you like what you're doing, you know, you want to do it well, you want to do it the best that you can. And so that is part of the reason that I think my education shows for what it is.
I know we've got plenty of time, and the book is certainly not closed on your South Alabama career, but if you try and look back at these last 3+ years that have probably feel like they've gone by in the blur, can you pinpoint an accomplishment that you're proudest of?
I will say that, and this is probably going to sound really weird, my biggest accomplishment out of anything is deciding to come to South. And I say that because I had the option not to. And I say that because I didn't know I was coming. I didn't know I was going to college. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I was going to sit at home, and I wasn't going to get the chance at education. And when I got that chance, I didn't run away from it. It took me a while to decide on whether I was ready to leave home. You know, I had a lot going on in my house. I had stepped up with my mom and was helping out a lot with my home, and I was afraid to leave. And I think that my biggest accomplishment in life in opening the chapter to come to college and opening the chapter to come to South and taking every opportunity that was given to me. And it's something that I will never, I'll never regret. And I know it's a lot of things that I've done, a lot of things you guys have heard me say, but that's my biggest thing, is just when I was given that opportunity to say yes or no, saying yes is my biggest accomplishment. And I feel really good about it.
Now, I'll give you a minute here to catch yourself. But, you know, when you think back to high school, you had the goal of going. You said that a minute ago. You weren't sure how you were going to do it. Did anyone recruit you when you were in high school? You're from Montgomery. You went to high school up there. And I'm just wondering, like, when, if at all, you ever thought a scholarship is possible, or if it wasn't until Coach Brewski came in late that you thought, okay, now I can go to college. I mean, did you ever think about it as you were competing in high school?
I actually played 3 sports in high school. I played basketball, I played volleyball, and I ran track. Track was the one I had done 4 years, that and basketball. I didn't start playing volleyball until my last 2 years. And it didn't hit me that I could possibly get to college on an athletic scholarship until me going into my senior year. A lot of people on my team have won something individually, a state title. I never have. I never did. And I was always the runner-up. Always. I have so many second place. Man, it's crazy. I have one gold medal, and it is from a relay that I ran my senior year. And we were the first one at my school to even win something. You know, I was the first person at the school to just get a medal. Granted, it was second place, but it never really occurred to me. And I was always thinking, I said, nobody's going to want the runner-up. Nobody wants the runner-up. You know, they were always wanting that first-place person. And so recruiting for me was not what it could have been. My dad handled a lot of things with me, and he was a big person about trying to help me get to school for that. And he passed going into my senior year, and so it was kind of left up to me and my mom. And it was like, okay, my mom is very, very intelligent person, and she did everything she could. She knew. So she did a lot of trying to compile things for me and find places for me to go. And so I didn't have any schools that actually reached out to me. I'm maybe one, but most of the schools I had reached out to him, and I had a few coaches that did the same. And they gave me offers, but they weren't offers that were going to help me much. It was they were offers that were going to maybe get me books, you know, if that. And I didn't have the money to do the rest. And I did get some academic scholarships, but I still could not, you know, afford it. I had one school tell me I had to play volleyball and run track to even. And I'm like, those are in the same. I can't do that. So that was a weird thing. And so I had settled. I had a school that I told me that I could come and they would let me do a tryout, and depending on what I got would be a scholarship. And I was really excited about going. I had an uncle that was there. I was going to stay with him. I didn't find out that they weren't going to give me that opportunity until before the national signing day. So they told me I could still come, but there was no guaranteed spot for me. And that was it. That was the heartbreaking thing for me. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. So I had enrolled in a school in Montgomery, and I just decided I'm just going to stay home and just go to school and go to work and you know, just help my brother and just live life. And then I got lucky. A couple weeks after I graduated high school, I heard from Coach Bruce Kent, like June. And it was just like, hey, have you, you know, heard of, and I had never heard of South Alabama. I had a friend who had came here, but I hadn't really kept in touch with her like that. And I was like, no, I don't know where that is. And he was like, well, just come and look around. I was like, okay. And this is June. Yeah. Like, this is late. I missed every signing day. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, fine, sure. So my mom and I had taken a little vacation to celebrate my graduation. And so on the way back, we just stopped in. And he was really nice. And as soon as we pulled onto the campus, I was like, this is the prettiest thing ever. I was like, why have I never seen this? And it was just like, from there, he just showed me around. And I got to meet a lot of great people here, a lot of teachers, the advisors and everything. And then by the time I was done, he was like, well, look, I know this is late, but here. And I had gotten all the information I needed. And I was like, just give me a few hours and I'll let you know. And I had gotten in the car and I was driving back to Montgomery, and I was telling my mom, I was like, okay, look, so this is what I got. And so we're sitting in the car talking, and I said, I'm going with it. How do you feel? And she was like, I like it. And so I was like, okay, I can't believe I'm about to do this. And so I called him, Coach Bruski, back right when I had gotten to my house. And that's like 2 or 3 hours later. Yeah. And he was just like, well, all right, we'll see you at the University of South Alabama. And I was like, okay. And I hung up the phone, and here I am.
Safe to say that perhaps with that start, that everything that's happened has maybe exceeded what your expectations of what college would be, both in the classroom and on the track?
Oh, most definitely. And a lot of those schools that I had reached out to and didn't really give me a chance to what I needed were looking for me after that first win. And I was like, well, you know, no, you didn't want me then. I had a couple friends who had gone to those schools and were just like, I hate that you just didn't come here with us. We really need you and all this. And a lot of the people that were finishing first in front of me, you know, aren't able to say they have a conference championship, aren't able to say they have 5 individual titles. They're not able to say they do this in the classroom, they do that. And so I'm kind of like, you know, being the runner up wasn't that bad. You know, I had nothing to lose.
So obviously it's gone well, but now the one thing I want to ask you about that freshman year is, when you go back to that spring, whatever goals you may or may not have written down at that particular time, did the thought of making the NCAA Outdoor Championship ever cross your mind?
No. And I didn't even think I was going to be able to. A lot of things I did, I didn't think I was going to be able to do. I mean, there were sometimes I had the flu at one point, and it was bad. I had a boot on at one point. That was not great. And it was just, I was jumping these small numbers. I think I went into conference jumping like a 12:20. I think that's what I had going into conference, and I was like, fourth, you know. Never did I think I was going to go jump 6 meters in long jump, like 6:04, and then jump 13:19. Like, that was the second longest jump at the time in the nation as of that day. And I was just like, okay. Like, I didn't understand. I was confused. I mean, when they flipped it around and said 13, I said, you can go 13 in triple jump. Like, it was so strange. And so, no, I really didn't. And then and they were like, well, now you got to go to regionals. And I'm like, what's that? Like, tell me what that is. And they explained it to me. And they said, it's like another meet. I said, fine, okay. So I did what I was doing normal, went, qualified for nationals. And I'm sitting here and like, I just qualified for nationals. Oh, what now? Like, I was taking it just week by week, because I didn't know how far I was going to get. So then they're telling me all these things. They're like, you know, you're the first person to do this, and you're the first person to do this. I'm like, really? Really? And they're like, I don't think it set in to me that I had actually done it until I had attended the junior nationals. It was about 4 weeks after. Yeah. Then I realized that I was just with, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just did that. And then I realized how good of a, I did not see that coming. And I wish I had understood more about what was going on then. But I think that's what made it more, it made it better and more relaxing, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so they were just telling me, and my coach is so funny, because he's just like, well, you're just going to have to go to regionals and then just jump. And I'm like, okay. So it just was a more relaxed way that it was happening now. But now I understand what it is, and I think I'm adding more pressure. So I kind of wish I was that little naive freshman still that's just kind of jumping to see what happens.
Well, you mentioned before you played multiple sports in high school, but since it's track that you're here for, I want to ask, when did you start competing in track and why?
So I actually was a gymnast for 11 years. I had to stop gymnastics because I had actually reached an elite level. I had reached level 9. And at the time, that was elite, and that was a 24-hour training. So what you had to do was you had to transition into being homeschooled. And I was in 8th grade. I was the youngest person to be picked for that elite team. And I was like, I do not want to miss high school. Like, I did not want to do that. And so I made the decision to quit at that level. And I had just won a gymnastics state title. So I was like, oh man, I mean, that's a good way to end. So I told my mom I didn't want to do that anymore. And she was like, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know, I got to find something to do. My best friend played basketball. I've never played basketball a day in my life. I was not good. But I could sink a good little jumper anywhere in the paint, and I could block a good shot, and I'd get you a good rebound. So that was kind of how I started playing basketball with her. And so I did that. And then one of the girls that was on the basketball team said, have you ever ran track? And I said, no. And the reason they asked me was because I used to run from one end to the other and block the shot off the backboard. But I'd be the only person who can get there that fast. So I was like, all right, so we're going to go. And I actually didn't jump. I was a runner. So I ran the 100, the 200, the 400. I didn't start jumping until like halfway through my first freshman year. And I like ran out and jumped like 17 something. And they were like, what just happened? And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And so then I ended up on relays, and then going one year I ran the mile once. I mean, I just did everything that I just felt like doing, and I was winning, and I didn't understand. You know, I was like, okay, this is good, I guess. But I started track when basketball season ended, because I was bored, honestly. And then when she told me, I said, yeah, all right, I'll go play, because I wasn't good at basketball. So I was like, I'm not going to play travel ball because I'm terrible. So track was a whole lot of fun. I couldn't wait till track season came around in high school. But it was, even though I played basketball first, track was my domain. That's what I wanted. We only had like 7 people on the team, you know, so it was more personal, and I had a lot more fun. So it was about, basketball season ended January, so my first meet was like February in high school, and that was kind of where it was, February in my freshman year of high school.
Well, we've talked about, potentially or trying to find a way to continue to compete. But with your work in the classroom, you are about to earn your degree. You're an exercise science major. You have an interest in graduate school. I don't know if it's specific to South Alabama because you want to stay down here, if you've applied to a bunch. Whenever the time comes that you stop jumping, and you move on to a professional life, like what do you want to do as a career moving forward?
So I've always wanted to be a pediatric physician. I always wanted to be a doctor. And that was my goal. I came in, I changed my major 5 times. Let me just go ahead and say that. I was a BMD major strong for 2 years. And then I ended up hurting my foot, and I was in a boot for 6 months. And I had to do a lot of physical therapy. I had to do a lot of recovery, a lot of things with my trainers. And that was when I like really felt the appreciation for that. I was like, you know, there's a lot of people that get injured and don't get the chance to, they can't afford it, or they don't get anybody good to be able to help them get back. And so that kind of switched gears for me. And so if everything goes right for me, I would like to be a pediatric physical therapist. But I say pediatric because like I said earlier, my dad passed my senior year, and he actually passed from sickle cell anemia complications. And so one of the things they do for children is they see physical therapists for pain, joint movement, swelling, a lot of things like that. And so I would like to work in that field as far as just trying to keep everyday life movements and controlled with swelling and pain and things like that, and different recovery techniques. So that's really what I would like to do. If I can't really get too far into that field, I would love to be like a pediatric physical therapist for like a specific district in high school. We had one, and she was wonderful. She was probably one of the sweetest people I had, but she also worked with 3 or 4 different schools. So hopefully around the time if I'm able to get there, they will be having a higher demand in that field, and we won't be having like one person trying to work 6 or 7 schools. But I would love to see that, and see kids you know, be able to enjoy their dreams, and not it die because they sprain an ankle, and the schools or their parents are just kind of like, well, we'll just put a brace on it, and that's kind of it. I kind of want to be able to, where it starts at, groom it and build it so they're ready for the next level.
Our guest this week on Inside JAG Nation is Caitlin Beans, senior on the South Alabama track and field team. Appreciate the time this week, but before we let you go, we're going to ask some questions. It'll be the first thing that comes into your mind. Take it like you're running down the runway and you're just about to take off. Don't even think about it. Just let it go. In what little free time that you have, what's your favorite thing to do?
I read. I actually do read, and I like to watch movies, and I have a dog that I play with quite often.
What's your favorite sport outside of track?
Volleyball.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
I went to an Atlanta Hawks game when I was 6. It was pretty cool. My first pro game, and I enjoyed it. My dad took me and my brother. Best thing ever.
If you get the chance to only go to one more athletic event that you're not competing in, what's at the top of your bucket list that you have to see?
I have to go to the Olympics. I have to.
I'll just assume track and field, but you got a lot of options. You're going on a dream vacation. Where are you going?
Italy.
Venice, to be specific.
Favorite movie?
Star Wars series, all of it.
Favorite book?
The Great Gatsby.
Favorite musical artist?
Chicago band. They're way before my time. I know.
I know who you're talking about. I don't know that some of your teammates may have no earthly idea.
I know. But it was my parents used to play it all the time. I like a lot of older music, and that's the song, their album. I actually learned how to drive to 250624. So that's that was my relaxation song when I was driving. I know nobody probably knows what I'm talking about, but that is my favorite.
And when a Hollywood director comes back to Mobile or Montgomery, wherever he may be in the future, and says, "We're gonna make the Caitlin Beans story," what actress is going to play the starring role?
Gabrielle Union has to.
We've been visiting this week with Caitlin Beans from Jaguar Track and Field. Home meet, South Alabama Invitational, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Jaguar Track. We appreciate the time and wish you the best of luck, not this weekend, but the rest of your senior season.
Thank you, and I hope to see everybody out there, and just keep supporting the Jags.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on usajaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!